everybody, and welcome to the 8th episode of Press X to Start. Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games are for everybody, and we at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity. Thank you.
Someone's
I practice in the mirror. With our discussions of news, reviews, and all things video games. Your hosts are myself, Marcus Ellison, the heavyweight champion of the world from a Wish a Nigga Wood, California. DJ?
Hello.
And I'm Avery.
Yeah. You know, you had an intro like a few episodes ago that actually seemed like it was something you could stick with, but I guess you're still going with this whole revolving
Are you talking to
door.
Avery or myself?
You know who I'm talking about. Avery has a fixed intro at this point, and it works perfectly.
You are hilarious.
It's like it's everything in my life. I gotta do it myself.
So before we jump into the episode, we're going to have a message from our sponsors.
Squarespace. No, they're not. We wish you. We really wish you would sponsor us. Yay. No, it's us.
Audible.
How about MeUndies? Warby Parker. Lisa Mattresses. MailChimp. Remember them?
Chinos. Mail. Some nice wash Chinos.
Oh, Chinos. Bonobos.
There we go.
We're actually sponsored by Lido's.
I wish.
Pizza.
But seriously, here's a bumper. Hey, everybody. If you'd like to follow us on our social media outlets, you can find us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, Instagram at PressX2Start, and our website at PressX2Start.com. Remember, you can catch us on iTunes, Podbean, and Google Play, as well as other podcasting apps, and like and review. Every little bit counts. Thanks. And we're back. So, right now we're moving on toward the big God of War release, but for right now we're still kind of in that, like, pocket.
We've gotten to a lull between big releases.
Yeah. But Avery and I have played a new game, but before we go into that, we're going to talk to DJ about what he played this week and his disappointment in it.
Well, I've played with...
You played with?
Myself. No. I've been continuing playing Dragon Ball Z. FighterZ. Because titles. So, the story mode is broken out into three arcs. There's the Saiyan arc.
Right.
There is the Enemy Warrior arc, which is a very weird name.
Right.
And then there's the Android 21 arc.
Okay.
I am pretty much... probably halfway through the Enemy Warriors arc, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised with how this story mode is working, because initially when I saw the Saiyan arc, I thought, okay, well, they're just going to plop through, like, Dragon Ball
right.
Z to Super.
Yeah.
But it's... But it's
visual, that's literally every Dragon Ball game is
exactly
ever
right. So
yeah.
They decided against that, and it's, like, a completely new story. Like, the characters interact in a different way, and I was kind of expecting... all the characters that's in the roster of the game to appear in the story. Not the case. Because in the story, you're dealing with adult Gohan. Why did I say that weird? That was weird. You're dealing with adult Gohan.
Well,
wow, I can't.
Your
say
credit,
that.
You're trying to say the word as it's pronounced, not as you racistly assume it is.
You call me a racist, Avery?
It can happen.
Yeah, so.
Just not against white people.
Exactly. So, as I'm playing the game, I'm actually surprised with the turns that it's taking, and the game is incredibly funny. It pokes fun at all the characters.
Yeah, I have watched like compilations on YouTube
yeah.
of like the character interactions.
Yeah,
and there has been some like legitimately funny or interesting stuff. Like what's his name, Gotenks interacting with the Ginyu Force, and
oh,
they're
yeah.
like having a pose off.
Yeah, there is so. If you, it's two teams of three that fight each other, right?
Right.
So if you have a certain combination for your team of three, there'll be a different interaction between the three that happens before you fight in story mode.
Right.
So for example, Gotenks, if you have Goku, Gotenks, and Vegeta, Gotenks has a
right.
problem. He's like, okay, so
what do I call you guys?
I mean, Goku is Goten's father, but Vegeta's Trunks' father. So what do you... I don't know, but that was hilarious. But the most funny thing that I have dealt with so far is no one remembers Nappa.
Yeah.
Goku's like, you're the bald guy? It's so hilarious.
Tien remembers Nappa.
Oh, yeah. And Chiaotzu probably. Chiaotzu, no! But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Okay. Well, yeah. You don't have another game you want to?
I mean, there was another game.
I literally saw you on PSN.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I wonder what this is all about.
So I played Trackmania, uh-huh. And that's about it. Okay. So it was not great. Yeah.
Well, I guess the less said about that, the better.
Right.
No Excite Bike.
No, not at all.
But so Avery and I had a nice little bonding experience playing A Way Out. But I'm going to let him go into some more Far Cry impressions before we jump into that.
Okay, yeah. So I am still balls deep in Far Cry.
That deep?
That's right, Dave. I'm talking about balls deep.
Mm-hmm. My assessment that it's my favorite game of this year still holds true. Uh-huh. I the best part about Far Cry, and it's because it's a Far Cry game, is not doing the story, and that's not a disservice to the main story.
Right.
It's just I have so much fun just going from outpost to outpost, liberating them as quiet as fucking possible with my dog, my cougar, and my bow and arrow. And
madness.
I love a good game that makes stealth an option, uh-huh. and gives you a mechanically good stealth.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a challenge to myself to just not get caught in anything I do.
Right. Right.
And it's a game that's forgiving enough.
I try to do the same.
It's a game that's very forgiving in that way. I've perked out everything. Just like, what I find very interesting about this game is very, in a post Breath of the Wild sort of world, it's a very interesting part of game design, which I'm not exactly a big fan of because I like a slow ramp up. Yeah. This is a game where they literally give you the keys to the kingdom from the minute from the first cutscene ends.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So like, if you want to get the bear and
cheeseburger.
Yeah, if you want to get cheeseburger or like the boomer, you can do it from anywhere. If you want to get the best gun in the game, they gain off a couple of like the high end weapons.
Yeah.
However, they do like sell you like because of their weird microtransaction system.
Uh-huh.
This isn't even microtransaction. You can, if you just play the game for like an hour, you can get enough money to buy like a reskinned version of a gun you wouldn't be able to get in the game.
Oh.
So in the first.
That's interesting.
Well, it's one of the things where
is it a gun that has the same stats as the highest gun in the game?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's an interesting design choice.
Yeah, it's like this is one of the games I kind of wish Cam would have been playing so we can talk about the microtransactions on it.
Yeah.
Because unless you go to a store and click on the tab that calls silver, you wouldn't know this game has microtransactions.
Oh, okay.
And that's, I think, pretty much Ubisoft's philosophy on microtransactions.
Right.
I think the way they work in this game is if you want some of the cooler stuff early,
You can have it.
You can.
But otherwise,
you can just keep playing and you'll never have to use them ever.
Yeah.
So it's stealth, but not in an insidious way.
Also, to a certain point, the microtransaction loot, silver, their currency, you can just find in the game. Okay. Like, you don't even have to buy it. Apparently, you can just explore and get, like, maybe 40 or 50. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting system. Assassin's Creed had something similar to that.
True.
But, yeah, I'm still super enjoying the game. I know for a fact it's not going to be my top game of the year by the end of the year because there's so many other great games there.
But for right now.
But for right now, this is literally
the most
fun.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Can't wait to be eating that pizza on this podcast. So much smacking. It's gonna be it's gonna be a mukbang episode.
Yeah. So I played a lot of Far Cry. I think I made a comment last week that I would be done with it in a week. Mm-hmm. And I kept playing at the same pace I was playing it back then. I think I would have, but I slowed down a bit.
Okay.
Specifically, so me and Marcus have finally had this A Way Out date that we've been playing.
Yep.
But wait, before you get into that, did you play Monster Hunter?
No, I have not. I'm pretty sure I deleted it from my hard drive to make space for all the other games I need.
Oh, wow. Well, you guys were officially off the Monster Hunter train. Remember how much we talked about in the beginning of this
year?
I think
if you go back to podcasts,
I will probably be, this is me probably talking out of turn because, like all my other comments about Monster Hunter, I'll probably be proved wrong by myself in about 3 months. Mm. But I'll be interested to see what the game looks like substantially in terms of brand new content.
Yeah.
And I want to say a couple of months.
Yeah.
Because they're doing a spring festival right now, and that comes with a brand new armor set where I'm like, oh, they're going to keep doing things like that. I can see Worth coming back in, especially the way I used to play.
My problem is if they do, I'm not sure if this is something they've done before, but if they do, if they go the Destiny route where that the armor set is tied to the event, and once the event is gone, the armor is gone. So I really hope they don't do that, because I'm not going to get back in a Monster Hunter right now, but I kind of would like that stuff to stick around for when I do get back.
Well, they've also been very transparent in that all of our event content will always come back. If it's not a one-time thing,
that's
everything
true,
will roll around.
So
like, if you missed the Aloy stuff, it's going to be back. If you missed the Ryu stuff, it's going to be back.
Right.
I think one of the things they did with the Spring Festival is they brought back all of the events.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but Avery and I finally got a chance to chart out some time.
Yeah, after
to...
Marcus.
So you guys played No Way Out. How was it?
It's a way out.
You're doing the purpose at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've been busy. There's a lot been going on. But we finally were able to sit down and plot out, like, maybe two and a half hours. To get into a way out. And, man, like, it's a double-A game through and through.
Yeah.
It tries to be a triple-A game, but it's fully a double-A game.
And what double-A means is that at first glance, it looks like, oh, this looks like what a triple-A game. Doesn't look like an indie game.
Yeah.
But then when you dial down, you start to see the things that, from a production standpoint, you wouldn't see on a triple-A experience.
Right, exactly. Right. Okay, so main question. Mm-hmm. Who is who?
I am Leo, for the simple point that I am a Leo in real life, and while I don't think that has any real merit to anything, I just thought that would be funny to pick.
And I'm Vincent because he was the other option.
Marcus is player B.
The irony in us picking the choices, when they show them their personalities, it's the exact opposite of what we picked.
Avery is totally a Vincent, and I'm more of a Leo, even though I don't have a violent streak.
I was going to say,
but,
so Leo's
but, like,
a violent
one. I'm the extrovert, and he's the more introverted one.
Okay, okay.
But I mean, I feel like in certain ways we're both a Vincent, though, because we would both be the diplomatic ones.
Well, every time the game gives us a choice, like we can do X or Y, we always pick the Vincent one because that seems like the
you mean X or circle, sir.
No, I'm sorry.
X or circle.
We always pick the Vincent choice
because
that seems to be the one that involves the less amount of violence.
Exactly.
So the last time we did that, it kind of bit us in the ass.
Yeah,
oh, really?
a little bit.
Did you play Army of Two, the 40th day?
I played a demo of it.
Okay. Well, the most interesting thing about that game was every so often it would give you a binary choice.
Yeah.
And then show you exactly what that binary choice would mean. And sometimes the binary choice would be do something bad, do something good, and then like, do the good one. Then the good one revolved like some dude raping a woman or some weird
shit. Oh, no. Well,
no, I'm sorry. I said out of turn. It, like, the way they frame the scene, like, you find a woman in a shed.
Yeah.
And this guy you're hanging out with, like, give me some alone time with her. And it's like, oh, he's going to do X. So I'm definitely not going to let him do that.
Yeah.
And it turns out, like, she's really evil and, like, she murdered his family. And had you let him alone with her, he would have stopped her from doing something else in the future. I'm like, huh.
Yes.
Way to play with my morality,
super gray.
Well, specifically in this case, I want to say second hour of the game, we've escaped from the prison.
Yeah. Well, before you get into that, how far are you guys into the game?
Well, we are still on the run from the cops.
Yeah.
So is that like 30%, 40%?
I think we're 30% in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think we're about like...
Because I've heard the game's about 6 hours and we played around 2.5.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So like, because I knew that we weren't going to be in prison the entire game, clearly. But I didn't think that we were going to be there for as little time as we were.
I know. I did the mental math. That's about 46.542%.
Okay.
I will be sending you my math homework for the rest of the semester. Yeah, so I wasn't expecting us, but, like, we actually got out of prison, like...
In the first hour?
In the first hour, yeah. Like, it really blitzed through it. And
that's amazing privilege right there.
Right, boy?
Well,
also, it helps that the prison guards in this game are terrible.
They're either super corrupt or just terrible doing their jobs. It also took us a while to realize this game is, like, set in, like, the early 70s, late
60s. Yeah, because there's, like... Vincent and Leo, the way they're presented, seem like they're from two different time periods. Like, Vincent is like, you could see walking around now.
Yeah.
Leo looks like the most exaggerated 50s greaser Italian stereotype.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah, so back to the choice. They give us a binary choice. We need new clothes and a new whip.
Yeah.
And like Vincent's, Leo's like, look at these two old people. Let's, you know.
Oh, before you continue,
oh my goodness.
A whip for people who do not know is a car. Continue.
Okay. Wow. I use that term just unconsciously.
Yep.
It shows I'm learning. But anyway, that
welcome
probably
to the culture.
But so like there are these two old people. We step on their house. Vince, yeah. Leo's like, let's run these fools. Let's run them. I'm like,
yeah.
And Vince's like, whoa, let's not do that. Let's just release their horses.
Yeah.
And like we're like, yeah. Obviously, we're just gonna release their horses. We're not gonna do anything crazy. Then, because we released their horses, they actually got the horses back, and as we're leaving, they called the cops. So I think that we may play another playthrough to see what these binary choices are gonna really affect.
Yeah.
But when it looked like that
might have not happened,
had we
shot and killed them.
No, tie them up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because the thing is, like, Leo says, "Let's take them out," and Vincent's like, "Excuse you," and he's like, "No, like, I mean, like, let's." I get you.
But like
on words.
I haven't done like co-op in a long time. I'm talking like real co-op, playing a single player game that's designed for one person that can be played with multiple.
This is absolutely a co-op game. Like you can't play it without someone else.
Right.
Like it's
like when, even if you're playing online, it's still split screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Which I thought was jarring at first, but I think the way they do it from a presentation standpoint
actually,
is fantastic.
Yeah. Did you guys play online or did you play?
Yeah, we played online.
Okay.
And it was like, cause like from a presentation standpoint, like you were saying, like there's moments where, like Cam said last week, there's moments where it'll go
shout
from
out to
split,
Cam.
Screen, split screen.
Oh, yeah, he's not here, unfortunately, guys. Yeah.
If you hadn't noticed that by now, I mean, what are you doing? But
normally we make a comment in the beginning, but we didn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You are missed.
So like they'll go from split screen to the point of view sometimes of the character that's supposed to be the focal point in that scene.
Okay.
But usually you're in split screen, but they'll use the split screen in ways that are actually intuitive to what's going on. So it's never like, okay, one person isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, like there was one situation where our prison cells were getting searched.
Yeah, room search.
But we had gotten like a wrench. So to add to like, because we had basically gotten farther enough in our plan to get out, but we needed something to pry open this like gate, not gate, but like
The toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
The toilet behind
us. Pry open the toilet.
Yeah, we ended up in sewage for a bit. It's weird.
Yeah. So. We had a random search.
How did you get your bodies? You know what? Never mind.
Well, that's a joke that we had. No fat shaming.
Yeah.
But like, Vincent's character looks bigger. You actually see him shirtless and he's jacked.
Yeah.
But like, in terms of just the way he carried himself, he looks like a bigger dude.
Yeah.
And so every time we would do something, I'm like, we gotta climb over something.
And Leo,
I'm gonna climb first because Leo's a smaller character.
Yeah.
And I don't think Mark's a fat. Specifically, Vince's fat ass. I can't handle it. And every time he went over it, it broke or fell.
Oh, really?
It happened at least 3 times by now. And every time I was like, wait, I don't know about you. Go, oh, God. And we started cracking up by the third time. We're like, God damn it.
Wow.
Vince's fat ass ruins everything. But it's like, just that scenario where it's like we're getting our room searched and then like so Leo is getting searched first, but he had the wrench last. And so he's like stands up against the wall and like when the warden isn't looking, he like you have the option to like kind of
to pass it
between cells. So then Vincent takes it, so he gets searched, everything's fine, and then like Vincent hides it in like the toilet opening, and so like they're able to get out of that because they work together, and it's actually really interesting.
It's one thing I really applaud about the game is how simple it is.
Yeah,
like it essentially plays like an adventure game, but like there's actual gameplay and everything's sort of context centric, and for the most part that we found, it's sort of a light puzzler, but all the solutions seem
pretty easy to figure
intuitive
out.
Intuitive to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we need a wrench. Where? How are we gonna get this wrench out of the room? Here's a vent. It must be that.
Exactly. Like, so far, I was saying this early on in the game we were playing, but it was kind of, it was easy. And I was like, I'm not going to assume that this is the base difficulty level for the game because it's probably going to get a lot more difficult as it goes on.
He did, the car sequence.
Exactly. But that, I still feel
what,
like...
Was there, like, a difficulty?
No, there's no...
No, there's okay. no difficulty. I don't think there's... That's why I was saying, like, I wasn't going to assume that this is the base difficulty
right,
level.
Right,
but,
okay,
like,
okay.
I feel like the car situation was less hard and more because that was a janky-ass sequence.
Well, I wasn't driving the car. I was shooting. From my perspective, it felt like there was...
Oh, so it was Marcus' fault.
I'm not saying it was his fault because I literally wasn't paying attention to the way he was driving.
Right.
I wasn't even complaining about his driving. I was like, I'm having trouble shooting these people.
Yeah, and like, but like,
so you're saying basically, if you kept the car straight, you'd be able to shoot people.
No, I mean the cops. They were GTA cops.
Oh, shit.
They were going.
Yeah,
They did not care about the laws of the road.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is like there was moments where it seemed like they weren't driving that fast, and then the car would blitz forward, and I'm like,
rubber banding.
Yeah, I was like, this is some weird like mechanics.
That's weird.
And that's where the AAA restrictions bumped up against the attempts the AA restrictions.
Oh, okay.
Bumped up against the ambitions of AAA because when you're just doing regular stuff like, you know, formulating how we're going to get out of the prison or how we're going to get through a certain scenario, it's fine. But when they get to the more ambitious set piece stuff, it's been a bit wonky.
I liken it to Alan Wake is a great example of a game where it has a driving system for no real reason.
Right. Exactly.
But this is the type of game where, as we've gotten so far, we've only driven one car. So
we had an opportunity to drive a second car, but we were like, we're not doing this.
Oh,
we're going under the bridge.
I stand corrected. No, let's move on.
Because
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, we were like, we're not doing this one. We're going under the bridge. Leo's a crazy person. But it's just, it's a fun time. Yeah. I was saying off podcast that like the or off mic that my gripes with the game are the fact that it is a AA game through and through, but it's trying to be more at points, and it doesn't work out as well as I put up to comparison. Hellblade is a AA game, but it actually nails the AAA experience.
And from what I can tell, based on that, Joseph Barrett Studio is an indie studio, so going AAA, bumping that up for production, I don't think any
would have been
hard for them. While the Ninja Theory is a AAA studio
that decided to make a AA
through some
game.
Bad business things happening,
or
decided to make a AAA game and found a AA game. They had the AAA caliber
exactly, right. and there was a level of tender love and care that went into Hellblade.
They also had a more focused experience.
Exactly,
from what I can tell. This is a game where we have to be driving a car, then climbing up. They had to build a lot more things, individual pieces.
But I think even outside of the game mechanics, I feel like even in the presentation, like the voice acting in the game is fine, but it's not great. Like, what's his name? Leo, whose character is Italian, but Leo's voice actor, I think, is Brazilian.
I made the super racist, and I apologize, assumption that he was Jewish. That
was
my fault.
Jewish.
That was my fault. I apologize.
But his character's
he
Italian.
He had what you would call a Gavin Free, and I assumed he was Jewish, and I apologize.
I believe his character's Italian, but his voice actor's Brazilian. And throughout the game so far, Leo has had like several accents. Like one is vaguely Italian, the other one seems oddly Spanish, and then the other one is like some weird mix between the two, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then Vincent's voice acting is more solid, but it's also more bland.
Right.
And so, like, there's from an acting standpoint, there's nothing that's, like, gripping you. It's more like, okay, you're in this with your friend, your homie, and so, like, let's do this together. But from a pure these characters, this story thing, it's not as gripping as it would have been. Like, if this was a single-player experience, it would be kind of like, eh. But because you're playing it with somebody else, and especially if they're your friend, it's more enjoyable because of the experience of it that we don't really have co-op experiences like this right now.
Yeah.
You know, so right now we're enjoying ourselves. I'm pretty sure that this game, by the time we're done with it, we'll probably tap at it like a 7 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
But, like, we're enjoying it.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear. I'm glad you two are having a great time with that game.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
But now we're just going to head on over into gaming news.
Oh, we are? Okay,
cool. What you got? What you got, Avery?
this is a meaty week for news. A lot of big reveals, a lot of big things to talk about.
Big things popping, little things.
So last week,
oh my god, I thought of the same song.
Great minds. Last week, we before our show spiraled into an Overwatch, a deep dive Overwatch discussion, which I thought was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
We were talking about Overwatch Retribution. The Overwatch Archive.
Which is a great idea.
Which I'm interested. I believe they should let it stay.
They should.
The archive part should just stay as a separate mode going forward, and they should update it with a brand new thing to do.
So refresh my memory. This Overwatch. Oh geez, Overwatch. Wow.
Okay, so the conversation that we had last week.
Thank you, Avery.
Was that Uprising, which was the event that gave us Tracer's first mission and their first PB, really first story bit of content.
Yeah.
Is being brought back, but it's being brought back in something called the Overwatch Archives.
Okay.
So my assessment is, I think the archive as a mode of play should stay.
Okay.
It should be updated regularly, especially with these big events with some substantial lore. That's asking a lot, though.
Yes.
But I think base Overwatch is fine as it is. We've had our differing conversation about mm-hmm. that, but mm-hmm. it is what it is. But anyway, so they launched a brand new comic. It was called Retribution. Mm-hmm. It features Reaper before he was Reaper. It's him and McCree talking with Gerard LaCroix, Widowmaker's husband, and they're talking about that lore is that Gerard was the guy that was giving Talon a run for their money, and they were like, "We need to kill this dude."
Yeah.
And so that issue opens with like them talking about, "Let's take down Talon," and Talon just blowing up their base.
Yeah.
And then Gerard being put in the hospital and like Reaper going to Morrison like, "Hey man, Talon is a problem and we're not going to be able to solve this the normal way."
Right.
And Morrison's like, "I know, but like we can't play by those rules. I know, but we won't win." And so Morrison's like, "I can't sanction this." And he's like,
"Right.
I understand." And like Blackwatch is like a weird bit of thing. Blackwatch is already a public thing. They had like a public blaze. Like they were But, like, the Blackwatch that we know of, like, what brought down Overwatch, this is its epic center. Because what happens is McCree, Reaper goes, he gets Cyborg Ninja of Genji.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like Raiden. He gets Black Cowboy McCree and Moira in her evil Mercy costume and says, "Hey, guys, this is a mission. We're going to take it." And I mean,
like, X-Force.
Essentially. And they recently release the new trailer for the new mode that's coming into this up the archives is Overwatch Retribution. It is the mission they're talking about in that comic. They've built a brand new map. It gets, for the most part, it's four characters outside of McCree, but DJ jumps around a bit, so he probably has some history with McCree that we all know how to play. This is the most excited I've been for Overwatch in a long time.
This is gonna be fun.
This meshes with the four of us, so I think this will be a good time.
And like the thing is, it's funny because DJ was just talking about how he was a bit fatigued and he wanted something new, and then bam, for that ass.
It's almost like they were listening.
They got your house.
You're not Greg Miller. Devs not listen to us.
Well, if you guys are listening, DJ, please subscribe to our channels.
Not with that enthusiasm. But
do it.
No, this is I'm very excited for this. I am looking forward to jumping into that with
I thought it would be when I heard it was gonna be a talent when I heard the rumor of the Grapevine it was gonna be a talent event, I was like, how are they gonna balance this? Cause like the first one is like, here's your healer, here's your attacker, here's your defender, here's your tank.
Yeah.
But like all the talent members that the Blackwatch members we've been introduced are all attack type of heroes, with Moira being attack support kind of a thing. So I'm like, nah, this is like I'm really interested in how it's gonna go, cause from the trailer and what the book stands for, it sounds like a covert mission.
Yeah,
so I'm like, is Overwatch gonna try and introduce stealth mechanics into the game?
Oh my gosh!
The interesting thing that they have right now is, depending on how well this goes over, like they really have an opportunity to experiment with the way that they expand the game here out from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, like, let's say this goes over well, and then they try to add something new to the next archive mission and such, by the time we get to Overwatch 2, we might actually have a story.
Never been Overwatch 2.
Huh?
I don't think it's ever going to be an Overwatch 2.
Probably not.
Well,
based off of how Blizzard does its games, probably not.
All I'm saying is, if it ever happens.
But there could be a Cataclysm event, though, which would be cool.
Well, ultimately, there's never going to be an Overwatch 2, but Blizzard will probably, if Overwatch gets popular enough, release a single player Overwatch story mode, but it's not going to be Overwatch 2. It's going to be a smaller, like $30. Here's your Overwatch. Well, because they won't have the bacon multiplayer, it's the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm super excited for Archives and
right.
Retribution. Can't wait to get on the sticks. already put my $20 in so I can get all the cool Brigitte stuff. I can't wait to put $20 in to get all my Moira stuff.
Actually, when I okay.
We're happy for you, Avery.
No, when we were playing
when I invited him to play
A Way Out,
and my message was Prison Break, and he was in the middle of buying loot boxes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I should have all. I think I have all the gold I need to just straight up buy the Laura skin.
Okay.
Off the bat. Okay, so more news is that one of the conversations we have, sort of a PlayStation Central podcast, is when are all these big releases that Sony's been talking about coming out? Mm-hmm. We got Dreams.
Dreams.
I'm sorry. We got Detroit.
We all have dreams, Avery.
We all have dreams. We got Days Gone. We got that moved. We got God of War. We all got dates for them. But the question that all of us in the PlayStation were saying was,
where is Kingdom Hearts? Oh, no?
Where is Spider-Man?
Spider-Man, okay.
And
Spider-Man.
We got Game Informer apparently had the scoop on everyone, and they did the big promotional blowout for when that game was coming out.
Yeah.
It's September 7th, and
The shock of everyone, especially Avery.
Yeah.
I thought that was coming out in the summer.
Yep. Which is, that's fine. That's fine. There's a lot of push.
It will be
Spider-Man,
the first fall release, even though it's like really early summer. Can you call it fall? But it'll be the first fall release of a Sony game in ages.
I mean, can you call this spring right now?
No.
Look, it's Maryland. Can you call anything anything?
No, because apparently it's not water. It's water.
Oh, you're right.
Crabs.
Yeah. I mean, I already had this game pre-ordered and bought like when they announced it was a thing. Like, this is gonna be something I'm into. Everything they've shown me has just been icing on the cake to justify that $60 I put down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the
question mark I only have is they talked about Mary Jane being a playable character in the game with her own game mechanics. I'm like, that's the only thing I'm curious about. How she's gonna take pictures.
Yeah, I mean, if she crouches and there's no other crouching going on in the game, then that's the game mechanic for Mary Jane.
I'm assuming that Mary Jane's sections are going to be maybe more dialogue choice heavy, and then Spider-Man's going to have more action-centric stuff.
They've also revealed that, I think the couple things, they talked about three pre-release costumes that are going to come with the game.
Yeah.
They emphatically said there are going to be no microtransactions, but like...
Oh yeah, I believe the quote was, hell no.
Yeah. I'll wait for you to release new costumes.
No. Their quote was hell no. Yeah.
Sure.
I honestly think this is me being serious. I think there will be microtransactions in the game, but not microtransactions that we and people who are angry about them emphatically see as microtransactions. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like downloadable costume.
Yeah.
So basically, they were like, hell no. Well, we're gonna have a little bit.
It's hell no with an asterisk.
In the reveal trailer, they showed off three new costumes. Well, they alluded to three new costumes. Only showed off one, the Spider-Punk costume, which is a cool costume, I guess.
Spider-Punk.
I didn't know that the Spider-Punk costume was going to be there. All right.
And then two others that they are going to release in due time.
Okay.
Only show us in due time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that one.
And they also said the current Spider-Man costume he has right now is an evolution that's going to – he's not in that weird new costume for no reason.
From the start.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
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 Well, that's cool. All
right. Yeah. Also, Miles in this game looks like Wes from How to Get Away with Murder. R.P. Wes.
Laurel doesn't deserve you. Okay. in other news, to the delight of everyone who has nostalgia for the 90s,
no one in this room?
Well, yeah.
Did you say nostalgia?
After the success of the Trash Insane trilogy, Activision Blizzard is releasing.
You said trash, not crash.
I did. Possibly a Freudian slip. I can't be held accountable for my subconscious. But the long held rumors of a Spyro remaster are true. It's being remastered.
We're talking about Spyro?
Yes.
I thought you were talking about Armored Core. You said nostalgia.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Let it die.
I will say this.
Oh, the game?
We're getting a dating sim for your phone.
Wow.
Okay. Is it on iOS?
You know it's on iOS.
I meant Google.
That's a question mark. But no, in all seriousness, I said I was interested in this game from like, because of those two games, I liked
Armor Core?
Oh, DJ.
Spyro. Oh, Spyro. Okay.
They showed the Insane Trilogy looked okay when they remastered it.
Yeah.
But like I saw like in the trailer for marketing this, they showed these side by side of what the two differences of this game and like.
Yeah.
Woo! Woo!
Well, yeah, woo! It's very much like old graphics, future graphics.
Yeah, oh man.
Oh, it looks nice.
And you know,
it looks fun.
Yeah.
I played 3 Spyro games.
Oh.
They were all fine.
I'll pick it up and never play it. I'll just fill my stack of shame.
Yeah, I mean, I see that a lot of people are excited about it, and I know that it's driven purely by nostalgia because it's not like those games were revelatory in any way. They were solid platformers with a precocious.
Some would say mascot.
Yeah, precocious mascot who. Now seems more dickish than he did when I was in my preteens.
Right. For me, I feel like Crash and Spyro are literally two ships in the wind floating off of the sea. I don't know. Whatever. Hashtag flat earth. I don't really care. I really don't care.
The thing is, I would much rather, like, I can get into a Crash game more than I could a Spyro game at this point, only because Crash doesn't have a personality. Like, I could just watch him. I could go around and ubedaga and all that stuff. Spyro's a dick. Like, Spyro, like, at this point, I'm just kind of like,
yeah.
It's like Sonic. We're like, Sonic's an asshole.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sonic. Yeah, I just.
Chili dogs.
This is going to be. I think this is wonderful in terms of the buzz. I don't think this is going to do numbers like Crash did.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, because honestly.
I didn't expect the way Crash sold to sell like the way it did.
Yeah.
So all bets are off, man.
Hey,
I understand that Crash has a higher esteem in the video game
market,
but like we could be in a bubble that we only hear the guys who talk about Crash.
Crash is basically John Cena.
I think that's what it is. I think this is literally before Crash. I didn't hear anything about Spyro. It was always Crash. We want Crash. That was a thing. And then now that Crash is here, what about Spyro?
Well, the difference between Crash and Spyro is that Spyro still technically exists in Skylanders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he never really left. He just got consumed by another
Speaking of Skylanders, like, apparently there was...
Toys for Life are dead.
Huh?
Toys for Life as a genre are dead.
No, I was going to say, like, apparently there's a moment in Skylanders where Spyro takes a picture of his ass.
Kids love butts.
Like, there was a picture, like, there was a... Somebody posted a picture of, like, in the wake of... Spyro coming back. Here's a moment from Skylanders of him taking a picture of his ass. And it was like him saying, like, here's something for the fans. And I'm like, what? Did this actually happen in the game?
Out there.
Wow. Wow.
Then again, I know nothing about Skylanders, so I don't know what the tone of that game is. It could be very tongue in cheek.
It's a kid's game.
Well, then that's. Well.
His arm wouldn't be able to reach back there.
His tail.
Oh, he took it with his tail.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He's like, he's a dragon. He doesn't have opposable thumbs. How is he doing that?
I thought of everything.
Clearly, you did it.
Okay, so in other news, the Hitman studio IO, not the villain from Ready Player One,
Sixers,
because they would be IOI. They they have entered into a partnership with Warner Brothers to publish their Hitman games. Recently, IOI, God damn it. IO was let go from Square Enix, and Square gave them their flagship title, Hitman, to do with what they will.
Yeah.
And the question was, what's going to happen with them in this franchise? Because smartly, this has been one of those things Microsoft should have jumped on and say, you guys want to make a Hitman game? Well, let's make a Hitman game from Xbox. We don't have any other games. But Warner Bros. Has picked this up, so we'll probably see a new Hitman game from them in the next 2 or 3 years.
Sure. I'm
wonderful.
Yeah, I've never been that interested in the Hitman games. I've known they've been technically proficient games, solid stealth games, but it's never been something that like I've been super into. So
yeah, me too. It's like, oh, that's cool. They seem like they're really progressing.
My cousin used to play them all the time, and he would tell me, and this is when I thought games really had choice. But he would tell me all the cool things you could do in this game, like, oh man, I had to kill this guy, but like. He wouldn't let me in the room, so I killed the chef, dressed up like the chef, poisoned his chicken, gave him the chicken, and then left. He died. Like, that's how I got through the mission. I'm like, Oh, that's cool. And
you are
like,
a sick fuck.
No, that's
the coolest thing about the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah. That is one thing about the Hitman games that I've always
every
appreciated.
Every kill is
yeah.
a giant sandbox, and you can literally do it
yeah.
anywhere.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That's been really, that's the selling point.
And not how yeah. games say you can do this anyway, which means you can do the exact same thing with any gun you want.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. More Final Fantasy 15 news in that they released their roadblock for what 2018 is going to look like.
You mean roadmap?
Yes. Roadblock is a G.I. Joe. No, G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh,
yeah, The Rock played him.
We're not talking about the game Roblox? No.
Which apparently has its own Battle Royale mode in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because everything's got Battle Royale mode.
I need to download that. Oh. I'll be back.
No, so they released their roadmap. First thing first, I think Comrades, the multiplayer mode they added to the game, is becoming its own standalone.
I'm back now.
He went to go down.
So it's becoming its own standalone, so that's really cool. And then they've talked, they're going to, beyond just like quality of life things, they're releasing four new standalone DLC missions. One for the villain of the game, Arden.
Okay.
One for Luna. One for the Dragoon Lady, Arania. And then one for Ravis.
This game has gone so far from when I last played it. Like, you just said four names. I recognize
exactly.
half
so
of one.
So essentially, they're adding four brand new playable characters.
Oh, my God.
This is...
That's insane.
This is... And
maybe
it's successful.
This is Final Fantasy 16. Surprise.
Right. It's like...
And that's what's
jokes
weird.
On you.
It's
this
successful.
Is a new
like,
game.
Our friend Marilyn, she still plays 15 religiously.
Yeah.
And like, she's like, oh, I played through all the DLC. I like got all this. I'm getting this. I'm like, okay. So this is clearly working. It's
yeah.
still successful.
Oh, yeah. This the game has legs that I was not expecting it to have. Like, this is... But then again, like... A lot of games right now have legs that I just wouldn't expect.
15, the fascinating
Why
thing
are
about
we talking about legs right now?
Because these boots are made for walking.
But like the fascinating thing about 15 is it's the most accidental game of service I've ever seen. And then they're like...
You think it was accidental?
I think they were...
Is it because of the episodes and then it just kind
yeah,
of
Yeah, I think they, like,
off
they had
there.
Planned for episodes, but then, like, fan response and things like that and quality of life things
yeah.
slowly trickled out. And they're
yeah.
like,
yeah.
we can make this
okay.
game as a service. Because
in a weird
what?
Way.
I was giving them way too much credit. You are absolutely right. Yeah. Because
in a weird
Accidental.
Way, like, 15 was almost, like, released as half a game.
It's two-thirds of a game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah.
And, like, the last third is complete. It's just not as – it needed some extra work.
Yeah. Okay. A little extra seasoning. Mm-hmm. And they decided to add that seasoning. And all of a sudden, we want more Final Fantasy 15. And so they're just like, all right, I guess we're just going to do stuff with this game now.
We went to Costco. Here's all
I
your
mean,
seasoning.
I will give them the fact that the game is open world. We were talking about this off mic. It's huge.
Yeah.
So they actually have the landscape where they could put a bunch of stuff
right,
realistically
right.
in
yeah.
the game.
And they're always adding stuff. Like they added those new areas for the, what's his face? Prompto section. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. I have a bit of gaming news. So, They're making
we're talking
a
about Armored Core now?
Duke Nukem movie.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
Wait.
Like, no one's about to say.
Wait.
The word on the streets is...
You won't be able to see the movie because he's not going to be in it.
The person they want to play, Duke. John Cena.
Oh, no, you're going to put the music in there.
That's why I had a dramatic pause.
Okay, that's actually.
And I'm like, I mean, he looks kind of like him, and at this point,
how's that going to work with his clean image with WWE?
I was gonna say, I really hope they just take the name.
The thing
and
is,
they
they're on
the story. Thing.
I mean, John at this point is, as someone who still watches wrestling,
yeah.
at this point is such an elder statesman that he's able right now to kind of do. Movie stuff and then come in every now and then for like some stuff that he does. Like he's still a something resembling a full-time wrestler, but
yeah.
like he's able to kind of do more stuff because his clean-cut image in WWE runs up against that Blockers is not a PG movie.
No,
like, you
not.
Know, so
but it's about a PG value.
But it's the fact that he's playing a father that's trying to
so
stop
there is one thing that they were saying where they
a woman.
To make the movie they're trying to figure out how they're going to make Duke Nukem work and have it still be fun
yeah.
without it being like, because Duke Nukem's character is very much so a 90s creature.
Not a 90s.
Yeah.
It's a misogynist Weinstein thing that we kind of need.
Okay,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he's true, a '90s. Like, he's very much so a '90s creation because that edgelord stuff was cool back then, and
it still is. I put on my fake non glasses.
And so, like, now they got to find a way to like make him to without changing him too much, make his character fun instead of like this problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes. Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit of news. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you
no, I nothing. I'm just a little surprised by that. So continue.
Yeah. So another bit of news. This hits personally for me as both a Ubisoft fan and a Splinter Cell fan. Mm-hmm. So Ghost Recon Wildlands, one of the games of services that Ubisoft has made that is just refusing to die and is super popular and proud of them. They're releasing some DLC for that featuring none other than Sam Fisher.
Hey.
When I say none other, I'm not saying that Commander Shepard guy that got for the last game, Blacklist. No, they are getting the original Micro Ironside to come back. Leading back to my creed that they are working on a Splinter Cell game, and that shit will come out, and Avery will be super happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to get in on that when they drop it.
That's good to hear.
Because as someone who has beat Recon, or beat Wildlands, I...
Ghost Recon.
I just haven't gotten back into it because I'm like, all right, I beat this. I'm going to move on.
The strength of it being a game of services, you'll show back up in 3 months and there'll be all this shit you didn't know.
You're probably right.
Mm, mm.
Yeah, but I'm excited because I think Metal Gear is the better stealth game. That's because it's a core action game.
Yeah.
And the evolution to Metal Gear 5 is just like fucking butter.
Right.
But Splinter Cell, when you're talking about stealth game, that was the game where, okay, I got to take out this light. I got to make micro saves because anything could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The last one was pretty good. The last one is very indicative of how Ubisoft went.
Wasn't the last one basically Taken?
No, the last one was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. No.
Okay.
It felt
Ghost
like Mission
Recon, do you mean?
I want to say Rogue Nation.
No? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and our final bit of news, which is a very interesting bit of news, Shadow of War, which is the Middle Earth game that came out last year to a lot of controversy over microtransactions, which ultimately were, unfounded. Ultimately were found to not really affect the game beyond the end game grind, which at this point of the game, you're already, the whole thing. Long story short, they're taking out those microtransactions.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
There are a lot of schools of thought on this. DJ was like, they're trying to do this to win back fans. And to that end, I say the game has been out for over 6 months now. You are not winning back fans.
Well, they're trying to win back fans because they're going to release DLC very soon.
Ah.
So there's a two-part to their putting.
I mean, and if you ask me, it's a little too late. Well, but,
yes, it is. It absolutely is.
Hence why I believe it's not to win back fans, because why would they made their money or didn't, whatever.
Mm.
I think I've heard this corroborated other ways in other spaces, is that they're removing them because they're removing the servers. The servers are going to end.
Oh.
This game had an online leaderboard kind of thing going on, and if the fear against the microtransactions were high enough that the game wasn't making money regardless, I mean, they wasn't making money for those servers, which means why do they need them on? If they don't have the servers up, then they can't really sell anything from the store.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, like,
unless you mail money to them directly.
This is not the days where you can mail a person your memory card to fix a problem in their game or done.
It still works.
It's super dead.
Just mail your stuff to Press X to Start Pod. Yeah.
hey, you do that and
PO Box DJ's real address. It's interesting bit of news. I feel we're getting into a place where the word microtransactions has become radioactive. It's now a positive coup when anyone says we're not going to do it. But the way the industry works right now is
they have to do it.
They have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see sort of the evolution of the conversation or where it's being ignored entirely. Because, like, as someone who's not pro microtransaction but doesn't have a problem with it, I feel it fascinating that both Assassin's Creed Origins and Far Cry, both $60 games, both launched with microtransactions and then no one gave a shit about them.
I think it's come down, and we've had this conversation so many times in this podcast, that like it just comes down to the way they're implemented and executed.
Which is what was my entire point.
Yeah, like that's what it's always come down to at the end of the day. It's, you know, like we were talking about Spider-Man in the news story. Like, there is going to be a degree probably of microtransaction, but it's like purely cosmetic. You won't have to do anything about them, or what you said about Far Cry, where it's like, yeah, microtransactions are in the game, but you could go through the entire game without ever using any. So
right.
As long as it's like that, then screw it, you know, whatever.
It's a necessity. I was thinking of something else in my head, but yeah, it's just, yeah, that's what it has to be right now. That's just where we
like
are.
Like, if you
want to
categorize it as such, it's a necessary evil at
yeah.
that point.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
We've talked about this.
Thank you, Marcus.
This everything. Evil implies there's some sort of moral.
That's why I said if you want to categorize it as that, okay. it's a necessary evil. Just like how, you know, couch co-op is basically dead. It's a necessary evil. Because evolution.
I'm not going to make this joke.
Get it out of here. I know I'm a Christian. I believe in evolution, Avery. I also believe in robots.
Oh, what conversation were we having where, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe in evolution. What am I, an idiot?
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Well, normally we'd be segueing into a culture topic, but I think that was sort of a mini culture topic, talking about microtransactions for the third or fourth time.
Not third or fourth is generous.
Well, this has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to rate and review on... you know what? Yep. I'm going to rewrite this. I'm going to rewrite it.
And then send me the rewrite.
Yeah, but before I do that, don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. If you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more at our website, pressx2start.com.
Please, it's really pretty.
Yes. Go there. Until next time.
I've been your heavyweight champ.
Here's the thing. He put in the script, your boy. And he hasn't been saying that for a while. And when he put it in the script, I'm like, ooh, this is not good. But he put it in the script and he's reading it. But I'm like,
Did I put your boy?
No, he did.
Oh.
DJ rewrote the...
Look at you.
He hasn't said your boy since like the first time he put it in the script.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy. And we've been Press X Star Podcast.
I'm Avery.
All right. Peace.